Hear the word of God as it is written in the Apostle Paul's letter to the early Christians in Romans, chapter 12, reading verses 1 to 21. This can be found on page 866 of the Pew Bibles. Paul gives sound advice to the early church, advice that is just as valid today, advice to us to live lives that are pleasing to God. Romans 12, reading from verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God, because all he has done for you, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honouring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people and don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honourable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. To God be the glory and the praise in the reading of his word. Amen.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. At the beginning of the 20th century, some missionaries in the Philippines set up a croquet game in their front yard. Several of the native neighbours became interested and wanted to join in the fun. The missionaries explained the game and started them off, each with a mallet and a ball. As the game progressed, opportunity came for one of the players to take advantage of another by knocking that person's ball out of the court. A missionary explained the procedure, but his advice only puzzled the native friend, who said, "Why would I want to knock his ball out of the court?" The missionary replied, "So that you will be the one to win." The short, statured man, clad only in a loincloth, shook his head in bewilderment. Because competition is generally ruled out in a hunting and gathering society, where people survive not by competing, but by sharing equally in every activity. The game continued, but no one followed the missionary's advice. When a player successfully got through all the wickets, the game was not over for him. He went back and gave aid and advice to others. As the final player moved towards the last wicket, the affair was still very much a team effort. And when the last wicket was played, the team shouted happily, "We won! We won!" That is how the church, the body of Christ, should be. We're a team. We all win together. As it says in our reading from Romans 12, we are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. I played a clip from a song in St. Gabriel's Chapel a few years ago at one of our ecumenical services. If you weren't there, then you missed the lyrics of the punk band Sham 69. It goes like this. If the kids are united, they will never be divided. We are all God's kids. We belong to God. When we take Jesus as our Saviour and are baptised into the church, we are adopted into God's family. We are His children. And He never intended us to do this thing we call church on our own. As Paul writes in verse 6, "In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well." It takes all sorts to complete God's picture of the church. You may think that you are insignificant, perhaps even that you're not important, but that is not how God sees you. You are important to God. You are so important that He sent His Son Jesus to die for you. You are so important to God that He has written your name on the palms of His hand, and He has reserved a place especially for you in His eternal, glorious kingdom. If you were not important to God, then Jesus would just have stayed in heaven and left you to your own devices. But Jesus did not stay in heaven. Jesus came down from heaven and lived as one of us and set us an example of how we should live our lives. Jesus had all the gifts that Paul lists in the next few verses. Jesus could prophesy. He served others. He taught. He encouraged. He gave generously. He led with responsibility. He showed kindness gladly. He didn't pretend to love others. He really loved them. He was never lazy, working hard to serve God with enthusiasm. He kept on praying. He wasn't too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and he never paid back evil with more evil. No one here in this building has all the attributes of Jesus, and thankfully we are not called to be clones of Jesus. We are called to play the part, however small in our own eyes, that God has chosen for us in His church family. By submitting to His will, God will transform you and I into new people by changing the way we think. Then we will know God's will for us, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Any church that doesn't work together as a cohesive unit will never be effective in reaching out to others. If a church shoots its own wounded, if it seeks to take advantage of its position to knock others out of the way, as in the game of croquet, if it marginalises anyone who doesn't normally fit in, if it creates barriers to service, like, only my friends can be in my wee subcommittee. You can't be because you don't look like me, dress like me, or talk like I do. Any church that behaves like that will, instead of being fishers of men, as Christ has called the church to be, it will be keepers of our ever-shrinking aquarium. I love the comparison of the church to a flight of geese. I may have used this before, but it's a message worth repeating. When geese fly south in the winter, they fly in a V formation. Science has discovered why they fly that way. As each bird flaps its wings, it creates uplift for the bird immediately following. By flying in a V formation, the whole flock adds at least 71% greater flying range than if each bird flew on its own. Christians who share a common direction and a sense of community can get where they're going quicker and easier when they're travelling on the thrust of one another. Whenever a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels the drag and resistance of trying to go it alone, and quickly gets back into formation to take advantage of the lifting power of the bird immediately in front. If we have as much sense as geese, we will stay in formation with those who are headed the same way we are going. Being a Christian is harder to do on your own, especially with others headed in different directions, with others focused on the world rather than God, with others all too eager to tempt us away from the straight and narrow path. When a lead goose gets tired, it rotates back to the wing and another goose takes the point. It pays to take turns doing hard jobs. This applies as much to people in any church as it does to geese flying south. They say that in the average church, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. I wonder what the ratio is for Burnhead. Are we better than the average or worse? The geese honk from behind to encourage those up front to keep up their speed. Do you honk loudly to encourage others in front, or do you remain silent? A word of encouragement costs the giver nothing, but can be priceless to the recipient. Finally, when a goose gets sick or it's wounded by gunshot and falls out, two other geese fall out of formation and follow it down and help and protect it. They stay with the wounded goose until it's either able to fly or until it dies. And then they launch out on their own with another formation to follow and eventually rejoin their original group. If people knew we would stand by them like that in this church, they would knock down the walls to get in. But the honest truth is that we are at times not very good at this thing we call church. For whatever reason, we fall short of the example set by Jesus, and even the example set by geese. And I'm talking about everyone here, myself included, myself especially. It may be communication problems, timing issues, personality clashes, or busyness that distracts and distorts our priorities. It may be a lack of self-belief, a lack of courage and determination, perhaps a fear of failure or rejection. It may be that we are at times just a little lazy or so exhausted from all that we do that we just don't have the energy to do anymore. Whatever the reason, when these things happen, There is a great danger that we can judge or condemn one another. And that is the very last thing that Jesus wants his church family to do. The ultimate purpose of the church is to glorify and exalt Christ and to lift up his people. The Apostle Paul clarifies this purpose in his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, which says, the role of the church is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. There is nothing in Paul's message about going it alone. It's about church family. And if we get it right, the benefits are eternal. As Paul goes on to say, we won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. The key passage for me is the final sentence. It thrills me and challenges me, and I hope and pray that it does the same to you. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. For his name's sake, amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, this is your church. We are your people. Lord, help us to love one another, to really love one another, to resist any temptation to judge and condemn, but to encourage and uplift. Lord, you are the model. We are the students. We cannot perform like you do, but by your Holy Spirit asked within us, we can be a reflection of your glory. So, Lord, help us to be the church family here in Burnhead that you have plans for us to do. Help us to grow together. Help us to win together. And in that glorious day, we can all stand together and say, we won. Through your glory, your mercy, your grace. Amen.